Happy game day, everybody. Welcome into GameQuest. That is of allquest.com game day podcast. I'm Eric Kane alongside Grant Ramey. Hope you guys are enjoying your, we're going to release this Friday night. So the end of your Friday, maybe you're listening to this on the way to the stadium Saturday morning. The off season is done. Talking season is done, except we're going to do some talking here. We get to see football happen here this weekend. Tennessee and UTC. Grant Ramey, we made it. It's why we do it. I know you're a big Hooper guy, but we all do this because of football, and it's like opening day, baby. It's literally opening day. You got to love it, right?
It is not like opening day. It is opening day.
It is indeed opening day, yes.
Even though it's FCS opening day. How do we feel about FCS being the opening opponent? It's not just Tennessee. I think there's a lot of these games where it's FBS versus FCS week one.
To me, and I know I'm in the minority here because you want big time football games, you want great football games. I get that, but I mean, if I'm a big time fan of your team, you want a game like this to work out the kinks and to kind of ease some people back into it. Because I mean, how there would be more of an urgency if Tennessee was opening up against NC State tomorrow, right? Or like last year, Virginia was actually good. Like you get to work in some things, get Lance Hurd in shape, see what Cam Seldon looks like, and then the show starts next week. So for me, I don't mind it, but I do recognize that you want to have better football games.
I was listening to Rusty Wright, Chattanooga's head coach, earlier in the week, and he was actually talking about somebody asked him, like, did you watch Austin Peay last year in terms of what they did against Tennessee and how they made that game kind of a struggle for Tennessee? And he kind of made a good point, like, first game of the year, you're fired up, you're ready to go, you're ready to hit somebody else, you've been in camp for 4 weeks, whatever. That game last year for Tennessee, I believe it was the second week of the season, it was squeezed in between Virginia and that trip to Florida. And Tennessee kind of looked like they were kind of going through the motions and just kind of – they showed up to show up because, you know, it's their home opener, it's on the schedule, whatever. But it felt like maybe they were looking ahead to Florida. So maybe it is a little bit different because it is your opener. Maybe that benefits a team like Tennessee where you're not kind of going through the motions. You're fired up, ready to go, ready to be there.
Well, I think the anticipation is at a new all-time high. I mean, we say this every single year going into the season. I mean, it doesn't matter if Tennessee was going to be – lucky to get to 8-4 throughout the decade-plus stretch of really bad football. There were still some Tennessee fans saying, I think they can win 10 games this year. 10-2 is a real possibility. Well, everybody but you, because you hate the Vols, obviously, here on the site, picked Tennessee to win 10 games. And, I mean, as long as you stay healthy at a key position, I mean, you have the depth that you feel like in the talent level to where, man, this program is just at a much different spot now than where it was a couple years ago. And, I mean, that's – realistic possibilities, man. I mean, this should be a good year, right?
Yeah, when the haters pick a 9-3, it means you're in a pretty good place. It means you've got a pretty good football team and a pretty stable football program, which we haven't really been able to say that a whole lot over the last, you know, X number of years. I think anticipation-wise, it's probably a little bit of a perfect storm. I mean, how long ago did Nico commit? This was how many years ago now? This is 2021, I guess?
He committed in March of 2022, so it was early 2022.
So you've had to wait a while. That carrot has kind of been dangled there. This is the number one overall player in the on-3 ratings. He's a five-star quarterback. He's a Cali kid. He's all this. He's got this whole brand, the whole NIL stuff involved, all that stuff that you've been waiting to see what this kid's going to look like on the field. And he got here, and you still had to wait. Tennessee was coming off an 11-win season, electric offense, and then Hooker doing everything he did in 2022. And then you had to kind of patiently wait out the Joe Milton era, the year that Joe was the guy and he was the redshirt senior and he waited his turn, he got his turn and you know, it was frustrating at times and now you're waiting, you've been waiting, it's finally time for Nico. He started the bowl game, he was great there against Iowa, didn't put up huge numbers, but he's really productive, really efficient it seemed like. So it's, I think the anticipation is just because so many fans have been waiting so long for Nico. And now it's finally here. And you have a pretty good supporting cast around him, obviously, when so many people are picking them to be 10-2 and a fringe college football playoff team.
Yeah, and a guy that, you know, was a part of that process when he was a recruit, to when he committed, to when he got on campus, to when he was a backup, and a guy that blocked for him when he got his first start in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl, Ollie Lane, former Tennessee offensive lineman, local standout here in the Knoxville area. He's going to join us here in about 10 minutes from now. So a unique perspective on what he's seen from Nico, what he's seen in this offense as coaching staff, because we can talk to a lot of VFLs, but I like to get the perspective of guys who just left because they know this team and they know specifically on offense this system. And so I think Our chat with Ollie Lane coming up is going to be really, really good. But yeah, man, I mean, Nico, obviously, when you think of Tennessee football in 24, I mean, it's Nico, Nico, Nico. And I'm just ready to see, you know, obviously his skill set. I'm ready to see what he can do, the plays that he can make. I'm ready to see how he adjusts to adversity when he gets hit around a little bit, when he throws a pick, because that's going to happen. I mean, he's a sophomore, like redshirt freshman. He's a young guy. He's going to make some mistakes, but I just think that he's going to make so many more plays. I'm excited to see his off-platform throws. That's what I'm most excited about, because I think, you know, Joe did that pretty well in the Kentucky game, and I thought it was one of his best throws of the season, but he was not an off-platform guy. I mean, he was in the pocket. He got flushed from the pocket. It wasn't much to look forward to for the rest of that play. But Nico can not only run and make things happen, but he can extend the plays, keep his eyes downfield. I'm just pumped to see that type of skill set. And, you know, if Nico turns in to be who we think and who Josh Heupel thinks and who all the, you know, recruiting experts and everybody is, then, man, I mean, Tennessee's going to have a good year for sure this year, because you piece Nico with this trench play, defensive line, offensive line, this weapons he's got on the outside, what we think is going to be a solid run game. Again, I go back to this could be a whole lot of fun this year, and it starts today.
I'm interested to see how Nico compares and contrasts to Hendon Hooker. And I'm not talking day one, he's supposed to be Hendon, all this stuff. But I think Tennessee fans have been thinking since that Orange Bowl ended about how well Hendon ran the offense. Well, I guess Joe Milton was the quarterback for that Orange Bowl. But since that 2022 season ended, how well Hendon ran the offense, how it peaked. I mean, they averaged, what, 46.1 points per game that year. They had so many explosive plays for those 2 years with Hendon at quarterback. And it's not that Nico has to be Hendon. It's just that Hendon ran the offense so efficiently and so productive and so explosive that you're trying to get back to what they were in 2022 and 2021. Fast starts, you know, big plays, all that stuff, red zone success, a lot better than they were last year. They're going to have to be better there. I'm interested to see how much he runs it compared to Hendon. I think Hendon did a lot more with his legs than maybe people remember and kept a lot of drives alive. I thought he was really efficient there in terms of, you know, scrambling for 7 on a 3rd and 6 when he didn't have anything downfield. Nico ran it, what, 16 times in the Citrus Bowl? I don't know if that's sustainable for a 12-game regular season and then whatever's after that. But I'll be interested to see how he uses his legs and just kind of how he looks, kind of maybe how he processes the game, maybe like Hendon did, kind of how that compares and contrasts and how quickly he can kind of grow from whatever he is on day one to whatever he is later on in the season.
How excited are you to see these bad boys out there today? Huh?
I'm still kind of surprised that they're doing this. I don't know if this is an FCS thing.
For those listening, we're showing the smoky grays that they're gonna wear here in this one. Go ahead, Grant.
Because they wore those smoky grays in actually the home opener last year as well against Austin Peay. I didn't think about that until just this second, but I kind of penciled them in for Kent State in week 3, that 7:45 game. So I don't know. I'm cool with it. I think it's a good design. I kind of like the Smoky Gray series and how they tweak it, and it gives you something to look forward to once a year for sure.
Yeah, while we're on the subject, I mean, I'm not a uniform guy. These seem fine to me. Now, the Smoky Grays they wore in 2022 are my favorite. I thought those looked sharp. Apparently, people hate it. I think people hate the rendition every single year. I thought the 2022 Smoky Grays looked good, but I think these are fine. I mean, they're going to wear them one game a year, guys. I think these look fine. Get it out of the way. It sucks it's the home opener, in my opinion, or the opener in general, but just get it out of the way and, you know, get back to orange and white for the big ones.
The problem with the Smoky Gray is the first one set such the original Nike version set such a high standard that it's going to be really hard to live up to that because they were so different in 2015 when they came out. I guess that was 2015. And it just, you know, it raised the bar so high that it's going to be hard to cross that. And obviously you're changing it every single year the way they announced that Smoky Gray series for at least 4 years and then see what happens after that. So it's going to be really hard to please people because you started at such a high point that you got to live up to a bunch just to make people happy.
A lot is in store for Tennessee against UTC. We'll take a look a little bit at who UTC is personnel-wise. We'll give some key to the games. We'll give players to watch, all that and more. That's going to come up in about 25 minutes. We've got a little extended show here on the opener, but we're going to get to my conversation with Ollie Lane here in just a second. A really unique perspective on, you know, who this Tennessee team is, you know, inside the huddle, his thoughts on helmet communication, how it'll affect Tennessee's offense, how difficult it is to play center in this offense, what he's seen from Nico. Really good chat with former Tennessee guard and center Gibbs High School alum Ollie Lane, who's out there in the real world making more money than Grant and I combined, I would imagine. So that is coming up next, and then Grant and I will come back and finish the show and get you guys set for Tennessee and UTC. But I do want to remind you guys about a sponsor to jump back on the show here this year. That is Prize Picks. No better time to get in on all that action than over Prize Picks this football season here. First game of the season. Prize Picks, it's the largest independently owned daily fantasy sports DFS platform in North America. Easiest and most exciting way to play DFS, it's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, sometimes pros and sharks, all you have to do is pick more than. Grant Raymond liked to do more than a lot.
Always.
More than or less than 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. So, I had a blast last year winning up to 100 times my money that last football season. I'm going to do it again this year as well. You just select two or more players. You pick more than or less than their projected stats value and place your entry. Testing my skills on Prize Picks this football season is the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Turn $10 into $1,000 with just a few taps. Essentially, what you do is you have a grid here, and they'll have, say, we'll take Nico, and we'll say we'll take Dylan Sampson or whatever, and they have a stat projection. You just click more than or less than. You do 2 to 6. It can be Tennessee players. They can be Georgia players, Alabama players, Florida players, whoever the case may be. Whatever you feel good about that week, and again, you watch the winnings roll in. So all you have to do is go to pricepicks.com/VQ. Put in that promo code VQ, and you are going to receive guaranteed $50 once you play $5 in lineups. Again, that's pricepicks.com/VQ. Use the promo code VQ to receive a guaranteed $50 once you play $5 in lineups. Again, Grant and I had a blast doing it last year. I encourage you guys to do it as well. Go to pricepicks.com, promo code VQ, and have a whole lot of fun this football season. Former Tennessee offensive lineman Ollie Lane joins the show. First and foremost, Ollie, thanks for joining us. But how different is it this go around for you? I mean, your game days today, and you're not, you know, taping up, and you're not, you know, getting the ice and stem to get ready and everything. You're literally a former player, a fan now, looking on from through a different lens. How different is this for you, this feeling this year compared to last year?
I mean, to be honest, it's a lot more relaxing than it was last year. That's for sure. Definitely, I can remember it vividly going into that Virginia game last year. I was so nervous going into that. Now, you know, ended up not really needing a big reason to be nervous for that game. But, you know, it's definitely a lot better being on the other side of it, not having to, you know, think about it, stress about it as much, and just, you know, get out there and get to enjoy football instead of being stressed about what my performance is going to be. I don't have to worry about me anymore. I worry about just the team and everybody else. So,
what's your plan for game day? Are you going to be at the game? Are you going to be in a suite on the sideline at home watching the game?
No, my plan is this Saturday is to be at the game. You know, get to enjoy tailgating again. I've never gotten to do that, so that'll be fun. So I'm looking forward to it. So,
yeah, tailgating the right way. I guess the last time you went to a game as a fan and probably, you know, hung out outside the stadium, I guess that was
2017?
Golly, yeah, man, that was a lot changed.
That was a long time ago, yeah.
When you, as a player, were getting ready for a game like this, and I mean, you know, when you're in that locker room, you never want to disrespect your opponent, you never want to overlook your opponent, I know that, but you're not in the locker room anymore, so, you know, we in the media world, we do just that. When you prepare for a game like this, that's, you know, it's a 35 or 38 and a half point favorite for Tennessee, it's expected to be a big win. What's your mindset as a player kind of entering a game like this, maybe as a starter like you've been, and then maybe as a backup like you were earlier in your career?
Definitely. I mean, if looking at it from a starter's perspective, especially with this one being the home opener, there's a lot of excitement that still goes into it. Obviously, it's not your high tier opponent, but there's still some excitement just because it's the opener. So, I mean, this is your first opportunity to really get out there, kind of show what you got, figure out, did you fix everything you did in the offseason? It's like your first real test. You know, obviously you got scrimmages and stuff, but this is like your first live recorded test. And so, you know, I think going into these games, now when you get like later in the season going into these games, it can be hard to kind of keep your focus onto it, especially when you got bigger games coming up. But, you know, the coaching staff down there does a really good job of making sure everyone's focused in. on what we got now, because it's always, it's the next one. We have what's the most important game to us is what's next, the next game for us. And so we focus on that game that's coming up. We don't try to look past it. And I know that that's something that Heifel and them preach on a lot. It's like, we're focusing on this week. We'll get to next week when next week comes. And so I think that helps, especially with, you know, knowing what the spread is and stuff, having the idea that we're going to go in there and beat them up pretty good. It gives you still that key to focus on. I mean, obviously had issues like with last year at Austin Peay, thinking it was going to be one of those games. Then it turned out to be quite an interesting one. So I think it's important, especially from a starter's mindset, that, you know, you go into these games, you still keep that focus there. But, I mean, you also – you still have that realistic ideal that, you know, this one's probably going to get out of hand. And as a starter, you're probably thinking, I'll be out of the game about halftime and be able to move on and enjoy the rest of my Saturday. And, I mean, going into that one as a backup, too, from that perspective, you're thinking, all right, this is my opportunity. I'm going to get some playing time this game. I'm going to get to go out there and kind of do some things and be on TV, show my stuff a little bit. And so I think that's kind of the mindset. I think these games are a little more exciting for the backups just because they know they're going to get opportunities and time to play. But I mean, it's also exciting just for the starters to, you know, go out there and just play. And, you know, they're going to have a good opportunity to go against some people that aren't as good as them. So, I mean, they can show off their talent, show how good they are. And so I think that's kind of what builds that excitement for that.
Let me ask you this. I know the focus is always on you getting better every single day and all that. And it's not always like this. You open the season, but a lot of times you get kind of a game like this and then a bigger week two. So Did you guys ever spend time, not a lot, but just ever like a couple periods, maybe like during the back end of fall camp, like saying, okay, we got game week for UTC coming up this week, but you know, here's what NC State will look like on offense. Like, here's a scout team, draw these plays. Like, spending just a little bit of time maybe looking at NC State in the back half of camp, whereas once you got into game week, it's all like UTC.
Yeah. No, I mean, it depends on just what that size of the opponent is. You know, I'm sure they've probably thrown in some looks that they've noticed when – because, I mean, before the season, they go through everybody's film already and have that stuff broken up for us. Yeah. And so I'm sure what they probably – and what we've done in the past is, like, if there's some certain looks – that they know that we might get in week two, they'll go ahead and throw them out there at the end of camp. Just so
like before the Pittsburgh game, like the 21-22, yeah.
Yeah, so we would get some of their looks and kind of go over it. Now, we wouldn't focus on it or put much attention towards it. But it'd just be like, here's these looks. Just we're going to run some plays against them, see how it looks. But then, like you said, when we get to the game week, it's just strictly on that team that we're playing that week.
Yeah, and of course, during the season, you don't have time to do anything but focus on that game. But in camp,
exactly.
It's a little different. I've been saying it all week long. I mean, I'm not so far removed. I mean, I remember the feeling where you just want to, you know, throw up. But, like, you can be in peak athletic, you know, shape in June and July because you're just training and you're working and you're in shape. And then you put the pads on, you go into fall camp, and, like, you think, okay, I'm in the best shape ever. Doesn't matter how much in shape you are, that first game smacks you in the face every year.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember – go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, and then you couple in the tempo with it. I mean, it's got to be magnified, right?
Yeah, no, I can remember vividly Virginia last year. I think it was one of those really long drives we had. I'm standing here breathing heavy, and I look over to Andre. He's breathing heavy. Then I look over to Spraggs. He's breathing heavy. And I'm like, man, we got to score a touchdown. We're not going to make it that much longer. But, you know, obviously, like, you know, it's hotter beginning of the year. And, like, you think you're in shape because, you know, you just went through the toll of fall camp. But then you just don't realize, like, oh, like, this is a different level of needing. And, you know, every play in a game, you're like, I got to empty the gas tank on this game. You know, in practice, you can kind of vary and pace yourself a little bit, make it through the practice. In a game, there's no pacing. It's like you got to go full go every time. And not everybody realizes how much – that's taxing on you.
So I would imagine it's good to get that feeling out of the way like this week before NC State, especially guys like for Andre, who's missed a little bit of camp, for Lance Hurd, who's missed some camp, John Campbell, kind of work out all those kinks this week and then feel more regular, I guess, before NC State.
Yeah, and I mean, it makes it easier for guys that are returning and coming back because they're used to it and they know what to expect. I'd say it's a lot harder for, like, some of the new guys that are coming that never played a season, especially not a season in the SEC. I don't realize just how taxing some of those games can be just yet. And, I mean, they'll get used to it as they kind of go along. But No, I mean, it does take a minute to kind of build up that solidified, like, this is my gas tank, this is how much energy I'm going to have for each game, so.
Ollie, a lot of talk has been on this defensive line and front seven entering this year about how good they can be. You have practiced against those guys for years. I mean, they're the same guys, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it's Big O, Bryson, Omar Norman-Law, you know, so on and so forth, James Pierce. How good is that unit? How good were they last year and in 2022 and in 2021? And, you know, how good can they be this year, that mm-hmm. defensive front?
Yeah, I mean, they've been great. And they only continue to get better. You know, in 21, they were still a really good front. But obviously, they still had room to grow. And they just continue to grow and grow and continue to evolve their game. And, I mean, to where they're at now, I think the hype matches up with the realistic preview of what they're going to do. You know, I think they're going to put a lot of pressure on the quarterbacks this year. The run game, I think they're going to be able to hold that down. And hopefully, you know, it'll all kind of come together. That front seven is going to put a lot of pressure and help the secondary out too, you know, kind of messing with the quarterback and stuff. So, you know, I look forward to what they're going to be able to do. I know Big O and Omar are going to control that interior. I mean, they're both really talented offensive linemen, and they got guys to back them up that are just as talented as them. And then you got James Pierce on the other side. He's going to call a lot of attention this year. And I think it's going to free up a lot of space for Don Bailey on the other side and whoever else comes in and rotates in that position to make some big plays. So, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of big plays from a lot of them this year. And I think it's going to be from some different people than just what a lot of people are probably thinking is just going to be the James Pierce show. But I think it's going to be a combination of all seven making huge plays this season.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, Tyler Barron had a great year last year, and a lot mm-hmm. of that had to do with, you know, James Pierce. I think Joshua Joseph has a chance to flourish when he's on the field. And at least been my next question, you know, from a fan perspective, you know, pass rushing situations, they put in that rabbits package, you know, you get in there mm-hmm. and it's a lot of quick guys, and they usually keep a defensive tackle on the field like Omar or maybe Omar yeah. Norman-Law or Maury or Omar Norman-Law, mm-hmm. but they also bring down a Dom Bailey or a Tyree West inside.
Yeah.
How, as an interior offensive lineman, when they bring a quicker, maybe smaller, but a quicker guy inside for pass rushing down, like, is that a harder guy to block because they're quicker, quick twitch? I mean, how's that for you?
Yeah, you know, it just depends. You know, obviously, interior, you're dealing with more of your heavy set defensive linemen, so it's just like, I got to get hands on them, you'll be fine. But with the speed guys, you kind of got to sit back a little bit. You kind of want to make them show what they're going to do because they're going to work some kind of move. You're not going to get from a twitched up guy moving inside. It's not going to be just a bull rush and be done with it, which a lot of heavier interior guys will do. And, I mean, that makes for an easier block. But they're going to try to mess you up, go inside, outside, swipe, rip, all that stuff. And so, I mean, interior, when you get those looks, you just got to be more cautious of your hands where you're throwing them and understand, like, this guy I'm going to have to actually pass, set, and play with for a little bit. I can't just jump on him, get on him now, because then he can just whip right by me.
How difficult is it to play center in this offense? It was like, I know I've talked to you about this before, but it feels like 12 days out from the opener mm-hmm. last year, and it's like, okay, well, we got to find a center now. Like, we can't wait around anymore. So they slid you down, and then, you mm-hmm. know, Andre went to guard. Of course, Dane, you know, worked a little bit there at center too. We know it's important, but how difficult is it to play center in this scheme with the tempo and all that?
I mean, it's not easy, that's for sure. You know, there's a lot of moving pieces that go with it. They simplify the offensive calls down enough to where we can still be quick and on time with our tempo. But, you know, as a center, it's your job. Like, you got to be the first one on the ball every time. You got to make sure everyone gets lined up on you. You got to get the play call successfully, get the calls out to your guards that hopefully are getting it out to their tackles. And, I mean, as a center, you want to be loud enough so all four of them can hear you. But obviously, in some certain situations, you just got to pass down. And then you're controlling the tempo to a point. I mean, obviously, the quarterback's the one snapping the ball, but you got to be ready to snap it whenever, because, I mean, as soon as that play's called, the quarterback's ready to snap the ball. And so it's just on us making sure that we're ready. And, you know, I ran into some issues with that last year. Me and Joe kind of had some miscommunications at time. Like, I'd be trying to get a call out, and then he's wanting to snap it, and we just weren't ready. So, you know, it really depends heavily on, one, the relationship that you got with your quarterback and your offensive line. Because, I mean, when you're out there as a center, you're viewed as the leader of the offensive line and almost the second leader of the offensive group. You're the second there's only two people that really touch the ball every single time, and that's the center and the quarterback. So they're become the two most important positions on the field. And so, I mean, it puts a lot of stress on you. But at the same time, the way they've got this offensive scheme set up, it's for the center's success. But, I mean, obviously there's so many moving parts in there that it takes someone that's seasoned and understands the objective and what needs to be done for a great product to be put out there.
Yeah, I mean, the quarterback controls the tempo, sure. I mean, he snaps the football, but, like, as soon as that ball is spotted, really, the officials control the tempo. As soon as that ball is spotted, the center's got to go out there so everybody else can get lined up. So, yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. I think the center truly does, set the tempo. When they, I mean, I know you practiced center your entire career here. I know that wasn't mm-hmm. completely foreign to you, but when they came to you and said, hey, opening day starter at center. I mean, you were, left guard. You had experience in this offense, started games at left guard. What was your mindset like? Oh, crap, I'm going to be the center for the first, three or four games.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely added a lot more stress going into that first game, just because that first game against Virginia is the first time I ever played center in a game. I've practiced it for the 4 or 5 years that I've been there, but I never had the opportunity to actually play it at a game. So, I mean, it put a little stress on me. But I was always stressed for every game. And then it felt like after that first series, that kind of stuff would just go away. You get comfortable in a game. And that's kind of what happened that first time I went out there. I got comfortable in it. I've been running it so much in practice that I had the relationship with my guys that were out there with me. So it made it a lot easier, but it's a stressful position to play. At the end of the day, I felt like I made it to where I was prepared enough, and I kept, some of that nervousness and that stress and stuff is good to kind of keep you focused in on stuff, but I was also able to not let it, dictate how I played, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no doubt. When did you, I guess Cooper came back, was the South Carolina game? I can't remember.
Yeah.
When did you feel like, okay, this is like home now. It feels good. Like mm-hmm. you always knew you were going to go back to left guard, but like, it's like, okay, yeah. If I had to do this all year long, I feel good.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, after that Virginia game, I was like, all right, this is something that I could probably do. Obviously ran into some hiccups down in Gainesville, but I mean, that's fair to say for anybody that played down there. Yeah. And so, I feel,
and it wasn't just you that ran into hiccups. So don't worry.
Yeah. But, I think I got comfortable in playing that position. I slid over there a couple more times throughout the season. But it also helped just kind of build my knowledge of what all we were actually doing as an offense. And that, that's what I tell a bunch of guys, the younger guys now that are trying to learn the offense and do everything. I'm like, honestly, the most beneficial thing that ever happened to me was learning to play center, because I had to learn everything. I had to learn what everybody else was doing. And by the time, when Coop came back, I'm at guard, but I'm like the second center out there. I'm helping him make calls, IDing stuff. I'm seeing exactly what he's seeing. And I think, you're being into the day, it's a huge benefit to the offensive line, because mm-hmm. the more people you have getting the information and processing it and sharing it with everybody, because, Coop can't get down the line to every single person and make sure that they know exactly what he's processing. So, I mean, it was nice for me to be over there and I could look at John and fill him in on everything that he needed to that he wouldn't normally get all the time.
Yeah. Carvin was that security blanket. Mm-hmm. You were that security blanket. Dane's going to be that security blanket. I mean, this is the last year for Cooper. Like, Tennessee's going to have to find another answer, whether it's William Satterwhite, Bison Lane, maybe Nick Moore at Jeff County right now, whoever, maybe the mm-hmm. transfer portal. But I think the center position is, and it just goes to show you how vital Cooper's been, through this Josh Hopple tenure.
If you look back at 22, he stayed healthy throughout that whole year. You saw the success that we have. Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of that offensive success, it does end up amounting up to who's playing that center position.
Yeah, no doubt. We're 17 minutes into this little hit, and I haven't even asked you about Nico. I know that Nico was, freshman last year, mm-hmm. backup, but you've been around Nico a lot. I know you weren't here in spring or in fall camp, but you were around a little bit. I saw you out there, but what have you seen from Nico that gives you confidence? Like, all right, hey, Tennessee's offense is going to be pretty good this year with Nico at the helm.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've seen Nico grow. Even when I was there last season, he came in, he had some issues he had to work out. when you coming in with a recruit like that, you're always thinking he's probably got everything he needs. And, you know, he didn't. He needed to learn some stuff. You know, he had issues. He would stumble over words, making play calls and stuff when he first got there. And then by the time that Jesus ball hit around, he knew everything, led the offense successfully, was vocal, and really came into his own during that game. And I think he's going to take that and carry it into this year. The practices that I've seen, he seems to be a good front runner and a leader for us. You know, because that quarterback position, if you're a leader or not, you're thrown into a leadership position mm-hmm. because that's what that position calls for. And I think he's handled it well. Obviously, he's got a lot of help around him, too, that I think will kind of help ease him in. And, you know, the only thing that's left for him on his resume is just building experience. And that's pretty much what he's going to do this year. He's going to see some stuff that he's probably never seen before. But, you know, I think he's smart enough and capable enough to handle all these things and still put great stuff out there on film.
Was there maybe a point that, you know, maybe it was bowl season, maybe it was just in practice here in camp or whatever. I mean, Joe was the guy, he was going to be the starter, mm-hmm. but when you're like, okay, yeah, that Nico, like you saw him make a play or maybe a throw. It's like, man, like, okay, I get all the hype. Like I see it now.
Yeah, no, I remember one day watching him and Joe throw pre-practice and I was like, yeah, this guy's got the talent. He's going to be good. It's just getting him that time and that season in.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. All right, man. Tennessee UTC is coming up later today, and you know, this has been good, man. I'm going to have you on the show again. I do want to ask you before I let you go, new technologies on the sidelines, in helmet mm-hmm. communication with sideline to quarterback and sideline to linebacker or whatever. Tennessee will still signal in stuff and everything, and you know, mm-hmm. Heupel and Halsey have both mentioned that it's, you know, yeah, sure, you can call plays that way, but it's more like reminders. But for you guys, do you think that's going to help a lot with the tempo and already going as quickly as you can? Like, if I know you're not on the team this year, but like, how do you think that's going to affect the offense having that, you know, communication?
Yeah. I mean, I don't see it doing anything but benefiting the tempo for us. You know, I think it'll probably help that process go a little quicker because, yes, they're still going to single in everything to receivers, but Nico can now just get that play call, throw it out to the center and be done with it instead of having to look over, get the call, then make the call to the center and then go through that. Like it'll kind of like skip a process for Nico, allow him to just get the play call out to us. And then, you know, wide receiver still getting the signal. If anything, it might speed it up a little bit. So, I mean, we'll see, but you know, I think it's a great addition to college football. I'd like to see him at some point, maybe put it in the center's helmets. I think that would maybe take it to the next level, but
yeah,
you know, I think that then adding the iPads on the sidelines too is a huge deal. You know, because, I mean, we still use whiteboards and stuff, and you can only see so much out of a whiteboard. But when you're actually seeing physically what's going on out there, because, you know, you rely so much on the information you get from the box. And, you know, those guys are normally really good, but they're not always perfect, and they can't see every single thing. So, I mean, if you can go through and see, like, oh, okay, this is where we got beat on this play. This is how we're going to adjust to it the next time. Because, you know, a lot of guys learn a lot better from visuals, and the whiteboards help. But this is only going to take that to the next level.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I certainly didn't have huddle on the sidelines when I played, but, you know, being mm-hmm. around Rivalry Thursday the last couple of years, I mean, we go, they have chairs set up, a tent, they got TV. I mean, every high mm-hmm. school, did they have that when you were at Gibbs?
Yeah, they started doing that my senior year, and it helped a ton because you can only see so much when you're out there. And then when you get the whole picture, when you get a second to kind of look at it, it helps a lot.
I mean, it's hilarious that all these high schools are doing it and like college football is just now doing it. But yeah.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued to see what that looks like. All right. There's a lot of excitement. Tennessee UTC coming up today. Should be a fun season. Ollie, I know you're going to be doing a lot of media appearances and stuff throughout, and look forward to having you back on the show, man. Enjoy today's game day for the first time really in like 8 years or 7 years from a different point of view, being back as a fan.
Yeah, no, I will. And I appreciate you having me on. Look forward to more opportunities in the future.
Awesome. That is former Tennessee offensive lineman, Gibbs High School alum, local standout, Ollie Lane. Hey, what a great conversation there with former Tennessee offensive lineman, Ollie Lane. Hope you guys enjoyed that. I don't want to speak for Grant here, but I think we'll definitely have him back on the show a couple times this football season. Unique perspective, and I thought he did a really, really good job. He grew up being a Tennessee fan, obviously living in Gibbs. He went to Tennessee games. He tailgated as a high school guy, but A lot of times change. He's a man now. He can tailgate for real today. And best of luck to him and this new way to watch Tennessee football.
He's been out of the program 5 minutes. He's already coming for our jobs, podcast appearances, media tours. That's it for us.
And he's already doing our jobs better than us for sure. So yeah,
that's not saying much.
Although I thought I was going to be out of this business several times before now, so maybe I'll survive this one. Let's take a quick look at UTC. Pretty solid team, Grant. I mean, you know, Tennessee is a 38.5-point favorite. Tennessee should win this game by 40. The over-under is at 56.5 at the time of this recording. It's Power 4 versus FCS. I mean, this should not be a contest. But given the team you're playing, I mean, it's a top 10 team in FCS. And so, you know, a lot of kids that grew up being Tennessee fans from the state of Tennessee play for UTC, so it's going to be a cool experience for them. But Tennessee should handle some business. They do have a pretty decent quarterback returning. Started his career at UCLA and came into UTC last year and led him to a playoffs. He threw for over 2,600 yards and 20 touchdowns a season ago. Run game's not all that impressive. They lost their best receiver, but they returned two starters at wide receiver. They return a seventh year guy at tight end. They return four starters on the offensive line, and they have an all SoCon center. Offensively, again, shouldn't be an issue for Tennessee, but it's a pretty sound unit for FCS.
I mean, it's a good football program. It's a good football team. They're ranked number 8 in the preseason coaches poll for FCS. I mean, that's a big deal. A top 10 team in their division. Like, yeah, it should be easy work for Tennessee, and it's a 38.5-point spread for a reason, all that stuff. But I think Austin Peay showed you last year, you better show up and you better be ready to handle your business because, like you talked about, this is not only an FCS team, it's an in-state team. They're going to have a lot of kids from the state, from the area, that have circled this opportunity. I mean, they look at these opportunities every year, I'm sure, as, you know, what they are, a huge stage to go play on. How often do you get a chance to play in an SEC stadium? I guess maybe once a year for a team like Chattanooga, so that's the one you're going to look forward to. Obviously, they have bigger games down the road that mean more for their football team and their season and everything else. But, I mean, this was a second-round FCS playoff team last year, lost at Furman in the second round. They're a good football team. And Rusty Wright is a guy he's been there for a few years, and it's like 5 wins, 6 wins, 7 wins, 8 wins. He keeps building it and building it in the right direction, and it seems like there's stability there. I think he's re-signed there for a while. Seems like he's building something pretty good. I mean, he's going to be I think he's a very physical kind of football coach in terms of how his teams play. So I don't think they're going to come out there and back down or be scared. They're going to come out there and try to do something. And you know, that not a lot of FCS teams can do, but they're not a bad football team at all.
Yeah, it was Darrell Sims, Tennessee running backs coach, who said, you know, he actually was a Neyland at Western Carolina. He coached on the other sideline in this type of, like, pay games, if you will. And, you know, he said, hey, you're going to get their best shot. It's a big opportunity for them, especially if you think about some guys who, you know, want to play in the NFL and get on tape and whatnot as well. So I agree. I mean, I think that they're going to give Tennessee their best shot. Will it be enough? It shouldn't. But again, should be a nice little tune-up game for the Volunteers. Leading tacklers back as well defensively, Alex Mitchell. They return a three-year starter at safety. They've got a two-time All-SoCon defensive lineman coming back. They lost a little bit on defense at all three levels, but they also bring back some experience at all three levels as well. So excited to see what Tennessee looks like in this game. Talked to Brent about this a little bit on the Rocky Top Rewind. We talked to AP and Rob about this on the VolQuest podcast earlier this week. But I want to ask you, outside of score, final score, what is success for Tennessee in this game? What for you, if Tennessee does, you know, when you leave Neyland, you're like, okay, check, good job. Now get ready for NC State.
Clean, efficient, mistake-free, as close to mistake-free as you can play in game one against an FCS opponent. Some good stuff from Nico early on, some good stuff from the offense early on in general. It felt like in 2021, 2022, when that offense had so much success, it was because they had fast starts and they would have a 21-point first quarter. They had a couple 28-point first quarters. Like, they got off to those kind of starts. So a fast start would be a big deal. Build an early lead. Don't let this team hang around. You know, don't let it be Austin Peay 2023 2.0. The secondary passed the test. I mean, don't give up anything crazy. Look the part. I think you know what you got on your defensive line. I think you know what you got to a certain extent at linebacker. but just kind of fast, efficient, explosive on offense, all the stuff that kind of Josh Heupel talks about. Like, they want to get back to being that offense they were a couple of years ago, produce at that level. It's going to require efficiency and production early on in football games, I think.
All right, Grant, that time of the podcast when we say goodbye, but not before you give me a score prediction and you give me a bold prediction. Score and bold, what you got?
You'd think I would have thought about this in advance. Okay.
We've only had it a whole offseason.
I'm not very smart. Tennessee, 50 burger to start. Chattanooga, 10. So Tennessee covers, and that's the over. I'll go Nico. He had 4 touchdowns against Iowa, total touchdowns in the bowl game. So I'll go 5 total touchdowns for Nico. I don't know what the combination is. It will be a pass-run combination. I just don't know what that is, but give me 5 total touchdowns.
So, gosh, man, you're having Nico playing a whole lot of football in this game.
But it might not take long to score 5 touchdowns.
That's
true. They want this offense to be what they want it to be. We'll see.
All right, so I will go score prediction Tennessee. And as we know, we record this ahead of our actual picks on Friday, so there's a very real chance that what I say now is not what will be in print or on the website. Give me Tennessee 55. I'm kind of in the same ballpark as you. Like, you know, Tennessee's going to be playing backups too, you know, later in the game. So there might be an excuse me touchdown. There might be a cheap one, you know. There might be a field goal as well. I like the 10 or 13. Give me 55-13 Tennessee. And then for my bold prediction, I will have more so I just want this to happen. So maybe it's not a bold prediction. I just want this to happen. Give me Deshaun Bishop leads Tennessee in rushing. He's got a 67-yard day. He scores 2 touchdowns. Speak it into existence, because I think he's earned that, and it'd be really, really cool to see him be a part of the rotation, even if it's just a tiny role, because we know Dylan Sampson and Cam Seldon are going to be the workhorses, of course, and then Peyton Lewis is coming along.
I'm a huge fan of Dylan Sampson. I think he can be really, really good. I think he gives you maybe a better pass-catching option out of the backfield, check downs and design stuff than maybe you had in Jalen Wright and Jabari Small in the past. I'm really interested to see what those guys look like behind him, because they're going to rely on those guys. They're going to play however many backs they've played consistently in the past, I guess 3, maybe more if you have more guys that you feel like you can play. Really interested to see what Cam Seldon looks like, what Peyton Lewis looks like. We've heard a lot about him. We've heard a lot about Deshaun Bishop. It's going to be really fun to see what those guys look like, and hopefully they get a lot of reps on a day like Saturday against a team like Chattanooga.
We spend 7-8 months talking about this guy and this guy, and this guy can do stats, and this guy. There's one football, you know, and we get to see kind of what that one football does, whose hands it is thrown to, who takes the handoffs, you know, what's going to happen. It all starts today. I'm super pumped. Tennessee and UTC coming up 12:45 p.m. Eastern time. Weird kickoff time, 12:45 p.m. Eastern time. It is going to be on the SEC Network. We got full coverage, obviously, all week long. Today, we got full coverage. We'll have full coverage during the game. And Grant will write 23 articles in the first 2 or 3 hours after the game is over.
Let's go.
Post-game mini pod. We'll have tons and tons and tons of stuff over at BallQuest.com. No or, as Brent Hubs would say, there's no or when it comes to the best Tennessee football coverage. It is only at BallQuest. Over under the amount of articles that you're going to write. I'll set it Saturday. I will set it at 8.5 over under.
I'll probably take an over 8.5 season opener, but it will not compare to the number of ORs on the depth chart that you can be. That's another thing we're going to see in game one, you can track the depth chart with your eyeballs and not have to rely on whatever that nonsense was they produced on Monday.
It was nonsense indeed. All right, Tennessee football has returned. No better place to follow it along all season long and today than over at VolQuest.com. This has been the Game Quest podcast. Appreciate you guys tuning in, listening to us on the way to the stadium, maybe at your tailgate, maybe the night before. Tell your friends about this podcast, and of course, stay dialed in at VolQuest.com. For Grant Ramey, I am Eric Kane. Enjoy the game, everybody. Stay safe if you're going, and we'll talk to you on the general quarter.